Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for hanging in there. We're talking about a very vital, a very serious, a very important subject today, and that is, should Christians celebrate Kwanzaa? Kwanzaa is the celebration that originated by Ronald McKinley, his original birth name, changed that name to Malana Kernger, and in doing so, he originated this celebration of Kwanzaa. He spent some time in prison for the imprisonment of women and the maltreatment of women, abuse and torture of women, and it was at that period of time that he the idea and decided to do so. He has cloaked it in so-called Swahili names and Swahili dress, et cetera, et cetera. And so we need to understand the dangers of it. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and the comment, please.
Yes, I've heard of Kwanzaa, but I never knew much about it until you just educated me. It sounds like a racist organization that's pandering to a minority. Compared to Christianity, which, you know, has many places where it says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and God wants everybody to be saved. I see some similarities with the socialists. I mean, they sugarcoat and things like redistribution of wealth, demonize the police, they outlaw capitalism, no private property, no Bill of Rights, the state bureaucrats. You know, they're the ones, the end all. They say what's law, what's not law, what's right, what's not. And so I just, like I say, I never paid much attention to Kwanzaa until just now.
Well, brother, you're exactly right, because there are a lot of parallelisms and comparatives in socialism and the ultimate goal of socialism and what you find in the primary postulations found in Kwanzaa and that celebration. But it is a very divisive celebration. Now, in recent years, in fact, it's been since about 2000, about 1997, 2000, someplace in there, that they changed everything to supposedly celebrate family and community and culture. But it was not created originally for that. It was created on the basis that Jesus was a psychotic and Christianity was a white man's religion and black people should shun Christmas. And so therefore it was celebrated as an alternative to Christmas. But you're exactly right. And we need to recognize the dangers of it. We need to also recognize, brother, what our kids and grandkids are being taught in the public school system. I've called it the governmentally controlled brainwashing institutions for years, and that's exactly what we see taking place. And we need to say no more. We need to stop it. We need to say from a Christian perspective, from a conservative perspective, from an American perspective, regardless of skin color, we need to say no to the brainwashing and the divisiveness of our society. Thank you so much for your call and for your input. As Christians, we need to keep looking up for our redemption, draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. It's an op-ed that was written by a college student, and it says, the dark side of Kwanzaa's founder. The dark side of Kwanzaa's founder. And it says, 2 years ago, more than a decade after college, I was commissioned to write about the history of Kwanzaa. That's when I learned that Kwanzaa had been utilized, that the rioter, the originator of Kwanzaa, had been convicted of heinous felonies. Though he denied the allegations, in 1970, he and three other members of the U.S. organization, U.S. is United Slaves, was his organization, called United Slaves, members of the U.S. organization, a black nationalist group based in Los Angeles, imprisoned and assaulted two women members. Trial testimony revealed that the women had been whipped with cords, beaten with batons, and seared with hot soldering irons while naked. Further, the article says the Carringer, that is the creator, served a few years in prison and later went on to get his doctorate in teach. That was a short circuit of it. Carringer was found guilty of violence against black women. How could Kwanzaa, the Kwanzaa's inventor, be that person, the same person? What did it mean about the celebration that I had previously embraced? Why did no one talk to me about the real history of Kwanzaa? End quote. I believe we have a call on the line. Tom, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I hear the exasperation in your voice about these people that start these, I call them cults. But recently, the Baltimore Sun had an excellent article by a writer by the name of Ian Duncan. And Mr. Duncan, you know, the Baltimore Sun is not a bastion of conservatism. That's a very liberal newspaper. And he goes on to say that 150 years ago, an experiment was started by the federal government. An experiment consisted of slaves who were brought out of Africa, had no written language and no intellectual credits to themselves. The other group was descendants of Europeans who came from one of the most highly developed civilizations known to man. And he said, for the past 150 years, the experimenters have thrown money, they've thrown laws, they've thrown everything they could throw to make this experiment succeed. But they're only about 15% successful. And Dr. Youngblood, I'm going to tell you, you can wear yourself out, but the other 85% will believe fables. They'll believe anything because they just aren't well grounded.
Brother, you're exactly right. The sad thing is, just like now, if we'd use the alternative for the illustration and the comparison purposes, the comparative of that is where we have so much of society today falling for the mask. I call it the masquerade. And so many of them falling for and shall receive the vaccination, believing that somehow that's going to set us free. And the major percentage of people that somehow, some way believe that Joe Biden is going to be our savior, that he can go into the Oval Office and wave the magic wand, and all of a sudden the virus, the pathogen, will be gone. And it's that same idea that you're speaking of, I believe, that we'll find so many in society today that are simply blinded. And it goes back to what I said earlier in Colossians 2:8. Beware of any man's spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That ought to be the mantra that we speak forth as Christians, and that we need to follow what is biblical and not what is found in relationship to what the world says and the rudimentary elements of man and what man says. You're exactly right, and it's called being blinded, and it's because of a spiritual blindness. You see, the only way we can understand truth is knowing God. The only way we can know God is through His Word, and the only way that we can have His Word is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you can have a person with 14 PhDs, if he doesn't have wisdom from on high, he's a dumb idiot, and I say that based on the authority of the Scripture. And we need to recognize there's so many today that are not following. In fact, I would be willing to say, Tom, I'd be willing to venture this as a guess, a postulation on my part. I'd be willing to say that 99% of those that celebrate Kwanzaa, even though some might claim they're Christians, they're simply ignorant of the Word of God. Immature in the Word of God, are totally ignorant of the Word of God, anemic in their understanding of the Word of God, or they could not embrace Kwanzaa. It would be, it's an impossibility. It is an impossibility to do so, and yet so many today try that. And the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath the righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion with light and darkness?" And it goes on to talk about what concord hath Christ with Belial. It is simply a fact that we need to understand it. So I hear what you're saying, and I have great passion for it. And although multitudes might hear it and disbelieve it, I'm speaking to that little minuscule, fundamental, minuscule element of those that are willing to be taught, are willing to open to hear truth and to follow truth. But you're exactly right, brother.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you so much. I just, like yourself, I get exasperated with people say, "Don't tell me the facts. My mind's made up."
You got it. That's it. That's a good summary of what they believe. Brother, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for tuning in. Tell others to tune in also. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article here by Ann Coulter. Now, I've not seen Ann Coulter lately on television. She has a presence on online. This is from Ann Coulter. "Kwanzaa is a holiday made up by the FBI." Now, this is another twist to this story that I must read you several paragraphs for you to understand what she says on this. "Kwanzaa, celebrated exclusively by white liberals, is a fake holiday invented in 1966 by black radical, an FBI stooge," that's S-T-O-O-G-E, "Ron Carenza, also known as Molina Carenza, founder of the United Slaves, the violent nationalist rival to the Black Panthers in the annals of the American 1960s. Carenza was the father stooge of the Czarist police. And what was ultimately a foolish gambit, during the madness of the 60s, the FBI encouraged the most extreme black nationalist organizations in order to discredit and split them to the left. The more preposterous the group, the better for the FBI. By the same criterion, Carenza, United Slaves was perfect." That is the United Slaves, the U.S. organization, he called it. "Despite modern perceptions that blend all blacks activists in the 1960s, the Black Panthers did not truly hate white people." This is Ann Coulter now. "Although some of their most high-profile leaders were drug dealers and murderers, they did not seek armed revolution. Those were the precepts of Carenza's United Slaves. The United Slaves were proto-fascists, walking around in disdain, gun-toting, to down the Black Panthers and adopting in their invented African names." Notice now I said invented African names. That's exactly what the originator of Kwanzaa has done. You can go study all you want to online. You can research all you want to online and get, then someplace, find any place on the face of the globe where those fictitious, adopted, invented names, African names, can be found. You don't find them. You don't find them. They're modifications maybe of something that was there, but keep in mind, the originator of Kwanzaa is an American. He's not an African. He's not from Africa, but he simply adopted these names. They were fiat, made up, phony. And he goes on to say, Ann Coulter speaking, "It's as if David Duke invented a holiday called Angel-like, which he based on the philosophy of Mein Kampf. And Kulis public school teachers began celebrating the made-up racist holiday. What Carenza was willing FBI dupe or just a dupe remains unclear." It's about a 4 or 5 page article, but that's the summary of it on the first page by Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter concludes that this was a made-up holiday invented by the FBI that kind of reeled him in. That is, with a rod and reeled him in to get him to think he's the originator of it. And it was used by the FBI to divide the Black Panthers and the United Slaves, which was an organization that was founded by the same founder that founded the Kwanzaa celebration today. That's a holiday that's on everybody's calendar. If you got an iPhone or if you get a printed calendar from any of the bookstores, you'll find that holiday is on that calendar. ladies and gentlemen, he was attempting to rival the counter and to have a counter group for the Black Panthers movement. He had his name changed to the now infamous Malena Kettringer. He was, it was after his prison term, ladies and gentlemen, and he was in prison for torturing and the imprisonment of black women in his rush to gain influence and power in the 1960s and the 70s. And he established his Black Power Movement, U.S., United Slaves Organization. And I just think it's a sad, sad commentary that today Christians and churches and schools and individuals in their own homes will celebrate, dress up in the fake, phony, false African outfits and will pretend, because it is a worship of ancestors, it's ancestral worship, which is forbidden biblically. It's an ancestral worship as well as a Black Power movement in its origin. It is an origin that countered Christmas and challenged Christ and called Jesus Christ himself an individual that was crazy, called Jesus a psychotic, and that Christianity was a white man's religion and black people should shun Christianity, that is Christmas, that is, should shun Christmas and embrace Kwanzaa. That's the origin of it. That's the background of it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad to say, but we need to recognize the truth of it. Here's an article that says, Black Power in American Memory. Malena Kettringer, that's K-A-R-E-N-G-A, was an influential black activist and scholar, this is an adaptation to the truth, and scholar during the Black Power movement. Listen, if I can just cut through the chase, he got almost a gift credential of a PhD by writing a 170-page paper called a dissertation on blackness in America. And in doing so, he was given a PhD. He is not a scholar. He is not an academic. And though because of having that PhD, he now teaches in a liberal college and university. But that doesn't make him a scholar at all or an academic. But this article goes further to say he is known for his many contributions to the Black Power movement and most famously for founding the U.S., that's United Slaves Organization, and the creation of the holiday Kwanzaa. The United Slaves Organization stood for the United Slaves and it promoted ideas of black cultural nationalism and black cultural revolution, including a focus on Pan-Africanism, and the co-founder to the militant black nationalist organization, along with Hakeem Jamal, the cousin of Malcolm X. The organization advocated for the independent black schools, black student groups, and the study of African and African-American studies, including African languages. The United Slaves Organization's ideal and goals partly conflicted with those of the Black Panther Party. Ladies and gentlemen, it's because the conflict with the Black Panther Party that the rival two rival groups got into conflict, and as a result of that, the founder of Kwanzaa, is the one that was imprisoned as a result of torturing black women in order to show his power and his authority and to try to be dominant over the Black Panthers of that day. The conflict erupted with the shooting of two Black Panthers and subsequent retaliatory shootings on either or both sides. But in 1969, United Slaves and the Black Panther Party had grown to become certain that their respective standings and leading black power organizations. The United Slaves sought to lead a cultural revolution, transforming black consciousness, group identity, and the purpose and direction for blacks in America. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not revolutionary, nothing is. And yet we have those in churches with pastors and Christians and Christian homes that dress up, decorate, and celebrate this ungodly holiday. The goal was to establish Kwanzaa, was to give blacks an alternative to the existing holidays, including Christmas, and give blacks an opportunity to celebrate themselves and their history rather than simply imitate the practice of a dominant society in America, end quote. Kwanzaa was literally established as a form of emergent memory to challenge the whitewashed dominant narrative in the United States of America. In other words, a revolutionary group, a revolutionary thought, a revolutionary movement. And yet we are embracing that in our schools and teaching that to our kids, that that's their roots and they need to embrace it and celebrate it. It's being taught to white children and black children, Asian children, Hispanics. It doesn't make any difference. That's what they're being fed in our public school system today. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to question. Public school classrooms across America today are including the classrooms in Duval County teaching that. Here's an article that says 10 facts about Kwanzaa that perhaps you don't know. Dr. Kerringer was actually given the name Robert McKinley Everett at birth, but he changed it approximately 20 years later to Malina Karinja, which means supposedly in Swahili, master teacher. He goes on to say he has two PhDs. The first was awarded in 1976 from the University of States, the United States International University, for a 170-page dissertation entitled Afro-American Nationalism, Social Strategy and Struggle for the Community. It's a revolutionary writing. It is based on a revolutionary movement of the 60s and 70s and still somewhat found in things like Black Lives Matter and Antifa today. Those are the progenitors of what is found in society today. The Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with skin or ethnicity, but all to do with a revolutionary move to overthrow America and to destroy America as we know it today. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, fake news about a fake holiday that was debunked long, long time ago, this writer says. Around this time of year, various journalists run sanitized versions of the creation of and the myth of Kwanzaa. They report that it has roots in African culture and overlook the fact that the founder has a past that discredits both him and his made-up holiday. Further, the article states, why do the media keep falling for a fake African holiday created by the psychopath that created it, that tortured black women? These are two ways to create fake news. One is by putting in things that are not true, such as the illustrated in the magazine on the subject, expose of television stations that report on Kwanzaa as a parade. For example, they had a parade in Los Angeles that consisted of a few cars driven down the route with no actual marchers. The other way to create fake news is by leaving out what is really true. And it goes on to go into great detail. I'll just touch on it because of our time. One of my readers, this writer says, called me the other day to inform me that the public schools in New Jersey aren't allowed to celebrate Christmas or to talk about Jesus, but are celebrating Kwanzaa. He says Christmas celebrates the legacy of Christ, who by all accounts was a nonviolent man who believed that people of all types can learn and live in peace. Kwanzaa celebrates the legacy of an extremely violent man from California who has dedicated his entire life to spreading dissension among the races. First, let's deal with the question of why schools can propagate a belief of Kwanzaa but not Christianity, Christmas, or Hanukkah. And it goes on to talk about the logic, fact that it's illegitimate. There's no logic to it. It's not easy to get hold of the facts and about the background of the creator of Kwanzaa. In fact, it is nearly impossible today, this writer says. The history of the founder of Kwanzaa has disappeared into an Orwellian time trap, time warp. And he goes further to talk about who the man was and what he had done in his position on trying to eradicate Christmas because it's the white man's holiday and to have Kwanzaa take its place. Here's an article that says, teaching about the holidays in public schools. Years ago, following a holiday concert, I had just conducted at a small Vermont elementary school. A parent approached me with the complaint, Christmas is the reason for the season, she said, so why can't you sing about Jesus? Public school teachers know that the answer is tied up in the U.S. Constitution. But the question did prompt me to ask myself a question that I'm still pondering today. Why do so many teachers find it hard to teach academically and meaningfully about all the holidays in public school setting, but cannot do so, and they leave Christmas and Christ out of their teachings? That's, ladies and gentlemen, the very point of my contention and what I'm saying today. It is a horrific position that we're in, where it seems that you can come up with a fake, phony, false holiday, and it's embraced by pastors and schools and churches in general and in the communities around the nation, and yet Jesus Christ cannot be taught in the classroom. It is pathetic, ladies and gentlemen, to say the least. Here's an article that says, Black Southern Baptist pastor and professor Kwanzaa not rooted in faith. Dateline Nashville, Tennessee. Having taken a close look at Kwanzaa, they're opting instead to celebrate their Christian faith, a Black Southern Southern Baptist pastor and Southern Baptist Seminary professor told the Baptist Press. Kwanzaa celebration of African-American culture should not take precedence over the traditional observance of Christmas, according to this writer. The concept of self-worth based on one's ancestry is inherent in the system of Kwanzaa. But he noted that Kwanzaa overlooks the depravity that can arise within any human culture. He says, I personally do not celebrate Kwanzaa. He's the Dean of Intercultural Programs and Assistant Professor of Old Testament at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He says, I reject the ideologies of its founder, and he has toned down his rhetoric in recent years in order to make Kwanzaa more appealing to African-American Christians, but initially he was very anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Christmas in his perspective. He says, this writer says, I prefer to celebrate the principles of biblical Christianity rather than the principles of Kwanzaa because I embrace biblical foundations of my Christian faith and not Kwanzaa. Ladies and gentlemen, suffice it to say, we live in an era when it seems to be so easy for those that do not know the Word of God to embrace a fallacious, false, phony, fake holiday called Kwanzaa. Ladies and gentlemen, it brings out the wicked, evil hatred in humanity. The heart is deceitful above all. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us. We need to understand and recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we're being duped and deceived on every hand. And we need to, as Christians, as conservatives, as pastors, as Christians in general, we need to say, no, 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 not on my watch. I'll not celebrate Kwanzaa. I'll not celebrate anything that's antithetical to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.